Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode number 71, recorded Thursday, February 29th, 2024.
Leap day!
Woohoo!
What up?
All right. We are missing Craig.
Yeah, maybe his computer died. He was having some problems with it. Yeah.
Don't know, but he hasn't answered the text, so I don't know. All right, let's get started with some horror news. All right. The Omen franchise has a prequel movie, The First Omen. The trailer came out a couple weeks ago. I posted it on our Facebook message board. I did see that, excuse me, the star of Servant, Nell Tigray Free.
Oh, nice.
She is, I like her, the star in this film. I just saw from online that it received a rated R for violent content, grisly, disturbing images, and brief graphic nudity. So yeah, this is a prequel.
Now you got my attention.
Original Omen series. Yeah.
Sweet.
And that chick is kind of cute, actually. In Servant, she was kind of cute. So.
Yeah, but in a creepy way, like creepy cute.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be interesting to have the creepy cute in the Omen prequel.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if she'll be like the nanny kind of character. Well, I mean, she didn't last very long in the first one, though, so.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is that this is not a remake of the first one. This is a prequel. It's something before the first one, so that should be interesting.
So it's not Damien, then. It's some other kid.
Right, right. Or at least we think. I don't know the details, and not a lot of details are floating around, but that trailer looked really interesting. I'm beginning to like a lot of this religious horror that's floating around right now. Seems to be the in genre for horror.
Yeah, I think it's because of the creeping religion creeping in on our freedoms.
Yeah, the Christian fascism. The religious,
yeah, I mean it's growing. You know.
Yeah, I'm kind of baffled by the momentum of it. It's kind of messed up.
Yeah. I mean, because when you think of anything, like, because their numbers are dwindling, you know, like more and more people are becoming non-believers.
Right.
So like in any situation when something feels threatened or has its back against the wall, that's when it, you know, fights harder. So I guess because they feel threatened.
Yeah.
Like, look, we're not going to take your shit. You go keep on believing in what you want to believe in. Just leave us alone. You know?
Yeah. Like I post my Facebook all the time, you know. Have your religion, you know, it prohibits you from doing things, not me. Don't try and push your religion on me. That's the best thing about America. Any religion, you can have it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be.
Just don't expect me to follow it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm not expecting you to eat babies and you shouldn't expect me to go to church.
Right. All right. We just realized now on Twitter, Daniel RPK, he's one of the leakers for most of the Marvel and DC content when it comes to films and TV shows. Daniel RPK, he has a paywall. You have to join his Patreon in order to get all his information. But thanks to user at AllFires, he relayed the information from Daniel RPK saying that the new Blade film is going to be an R-rated period piece featuring Lilith as the villain.
Whenever it comes out.
That's the problem. It's been rewritten 3 times. Listen to this. There's been multiple writers, including the writer of the first season of True Detective.
Really?
Yeah. And he was part of it and then was off of it. So they've gone through, I think, 4 or 5 writers already, and they still don't have a finalized script the way I understand it. So
Kevin Feige not happy with what they've been putting out, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. I feel like it's going to be very difficult to kind of match up to that 1998 Blade film. That took the world by storm and by surprise because they didn't announce that it's a Marvel Marvel character or that it's from the Blade is from the fucking Spider-Man universe of all things. But when it came out, the minute I saw it, I'm like, Blade? That's a Marvel character. And then, like, at the very bottom, it's like based on a Marvel character, but it doesn't have like the Marvel crap there.
Yeah.
But it was a great film. Yeah.
I liked it.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to match up with that one. According to leaked information, it has been said that Blade is going to be have a budget that's somewhere in the $100 million frame. And that would be why Marvel Studios at Disney feel that it's okay to let this have an R rating. They're not going to spend the $200, $300 million that they normally spend on giant films.
Right.
According to last year, or about a year ago, was it? No, I think it might have been 6 months ago. So there was a leak on Deadline that said from the producer who said that it will have an R rating. That's going to be a lot of fun. And the goal here is that Mahershala Ali is a very deep, very robust actor, and really much to get the character of Blade in depth, it really needs to be a rated R film. You can't have vampires and blood and guts and not have it be rated R. A PG-13 vampire slayer, not good.
Right. Well, that was when there was talks about moving the Punisher over to Disney Plus, like they did with Daredevil. And I was like, if you're not going to make these like at least PG-13 rated, because the ones on Netflix, I don't think they were quite R, but they were definitely not PG.
They were the
TVMA.
TVMA. Yes. And they're moving it over to Disney Plus, and it's retaining the TVMA.
That's good, because that was my concern originally, is that they're going to do that. I'm like, how are you going to have the Punisher, you can't do it with Blade either, really.
Exactly. Yeah. New trailer for A Quiet Place Day One is out. I think we posted this on Facebook a few weeks ago also. Mm-hmm. This is the prequel spinoff that takes place in New York City at the beginning of the alien invasion. This is going to be released sometime in June, I expect. June 28th, I think, is the tentative date at the moment. And they kind of lay down as a sci-fi horror Quiet Place franchise is heading to New York City with the latest entry, A Quiet Place Day One, which is set to reach theaters June 28th. We also posted another trailer a couple weeks ago, Late Night with the Devil. This one is made by IFC Films, and it's a retro style horror flick that takes place in 1977. The trailer looks fucking great.
It looks really good.
I'm kind of stoked for that one. And our good friend, what's his name? David
Dashmalodon. Yeah, say his name?
Dismalchin. Dismalchin, that's how you pronounce it.
Gotcha.
So David Dismalchin, by the way, a great actor, because even in the final voyage of the Demeter, he was fucking great. I'm excited to see him in this leading role for this show.
He was good in Boogeyman, too.
Yeah. It says that the new retro star horror flick promises that on 1977 is going to be a hell of a night. Halloween 1977 will be a hell of a night thanks to the TV programming schedule. A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. This is from IFC Films. It stars David Dismalchin, Laura Gordon, and Ian Bliss. It's directed by Cameron Cairns. It says that Dismalchin had this to say to IFC Films and its Shudder distribution deal. Playing Jack Delroy in a late night with the devil is a once-in-a-lifetime role, and it haunted me and changed the way I look at work forever. IFC Films and Shudder are the perfect partners to bring this film to audience. I'm so grateful of the Cairns brothers for their craftsmanship and all the work at the festival fans who created an incredible rumble, Late Night with the Devil. So, very excited.
Sweet. Yeah, looks good.
According to Hollywood Reporter, The Conjuring 4 has a director. This will be the final entry in the Conjuring universe storylines.
Hmm. Hopefully it'll be better than the last one.
I certainly hope so. It was a bit disappointing. It'll be awesome if it goes out with a bang.
For sure. I mean, if the first two were awesome.
Michael Chaves is to helm the final installment of the main series. New Line's The Conjuring movie has come back for one last ride, or one last write, as it were, according to Hollywood Reporter. The Conjuring made just was the original Conjuring, right? They spent $20 million making that film.
Mm-hmm.
It was a runaway hit in 2013, and it scored almost $300 million
Damn!
More than what they spent on it worldwide for a horror flick. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Since then, New Line Cinema, of course, has released multiple Conjuring films and interlinked universe pictures, including sequels and prequels and spinoffs, and whether it's The Nun, The Nun 2, what was the name of the doll? Annabelle.
Annabelle yeah. Homecoming, Annabelle Origins,
yeah. off the fucking rails with all the spinoffs and everything. But combined, all of the movies in this universe made a total of $2.1 billion at the box office.
Damn!
That's pretty damn good.
Faux show.
Yeah. It's funny because according to IMDb, The Nun 2, which I didn't think was very good.
I didn't watch it because I didn't really care for the first one all that much.
I didn't care for the first one, but I gave the second one a chance. I didn't really care for it, but it made $270 million. So
really?
Yeah.
Maybe people were hard up for horror at the time. There wasn't anything else out.
Maybe. New trailer up for a new film starring Sydney Sweeney, Immaculate. This horror film just scored an R rating also.
I've heard things about that film.
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney's horror film secured an R rating. Immaculate is set to reach theaters on March 22nd, and it now sports an R rating for strong and bloody violent content, grisly images, nudity, and some language.
That's Catholicism for you right there.
It certainly is. The picture in the trailer, the little clip of her running and screaming in blood dressed as a nun, arouses me.
Nice.
All right. Christian Bale is going to play Frankenstein, according to the Hollywood Reporter. Christian mm-hmm. Bale is going to be shaving his head to play Frankenstein in Maggie Gyllenhaal's Warner Brothers film. In an interview with Hollywood Reporter, he says, "I've got to shave my head next week for a movie," referring to the untitled Maggie Gyllenhaal film that's about that he's about to do for Warner Pictures. This piece in which he will play Frankenstein, shooting is expected to start in the coming weeks. He said, "I asked them to please hold off on doing that until everyone is going, what's wrong with Christian Bale? What's up with him?" he says, "Just let me get through the groundbreaking and I'll be off to join you." So he had to do a groundbreaking for his nonprofit organization for foster children, which he just did the groundbreaking here in California just last week. So
that's cool. So this is going to be part of the new Universal Monsters universe. Like,
no, here's the fucked up thing, right?
Oh, it's not.
I don't believe so, right? I mean, because it's Warner Brothers.
Oh yeah, huh? Yeah, because we had talked about that after the Invisible Man. And yeah. I was like, oh, well, I guess this is going to be part of that that new revamp. But
yeah, so I don't know what the hell is going on here. But this is The Bride of Frankenstein, according to this article. Maybe it's going to be something different. But and the thing, too, is even though it's The Bride of Frankenstein, the bride shows up for like the last 3 minutes of the film, if that.
Huh.
I don't know if you ever watched The Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, long ago.
One of my favorite films. I love the classic Universal Monsters. My favorite of the classic Universal films is Dracula, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. Bride of Frankenstein is a good movie, but the movie is called The Bride of Frankenstein. She literally shows up in the last 3 minutes. She is, you know, brought to life. She sees Frankenstein, this monster. Screams bloody murder, looks at him again, screams bloody murder again, runs away from him, and then he decides, I'm gonna fucking kill everybody, and he makes the whole castle explode and killing Dr. Frankenstein, the Bride of Frankenstein, and himself, Frankenstein's monster. That's it. Like, it's kind of crazy because she's in the title and there's pictures of her everywhere. She's there for 3 minutes.
And they never actually get married then either, because
nope.
Yeah.
No, huh. They're not in love. Like, they always people are like, oh,
the fiance. They should call it the fiance of her.
Yeah, she was terrified of him and wanted nothing to do with him. And he realized he's a monster. She's a monster. This is unnatural. And he kills everybody.
The Tinder gone wrong of Frankenstein.
Right. Tinder nightmares. the Tinder nightmares on Twitter of Frankenstein. Yes.
Not Bride.
Yeah. All right, Killer Clowns from Outer Space video game has a June 4th release. I know we talked about this on a few episodes, but they released a new gameplay trailer that looks okay. You know, it's a third-person survival game. I don't know. Like, I'm starting to get too old for video games, I guess, because
certain ones,
Evil
Dead,
and Evil Dead to me was a fucking nightmare to play. It was so
hard. I gave up, man. I wanted to like that game so much, and I just gave up.
I wanted to like it too. I tried over and over again. I just had no real luck with that game. I sucked at it.
I would die. Like,
to me every time I played.
Yeah, I would get to like the third checkpoint and then like just die. And I'm like, man, I thought I was going to make it this time.
No.
Yeah.
A fucking nightmare. And the online game, like everybody was so much better. Like I was like, I spawn in, like I'm dead. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, video games. But anyway, this is the 35th anniversary of Killer Clowns from Outer Space, so that's kind of cool. And Killer Clowns truly was a pop culture phenomenon. I mean, really, think about all the licensing that came out of it, costumes, apparel, accessories, things that were that you could buy, the new toys that are out, Universal, Hollywood Horror Nights, they got a whole Killer Clowns from Outer Space theme section of that. Like, it became quite the thing. I have a very low budget B film. But this new game, according to the gameplay, you take the role of an iconic killer clown, incorporate a team of three players to utilize unworldly abilities to hunt humans with zany weapons and plan your alien invasion to harvest the population of Crescent Cove successfully. Or you could fight back with a team of brave citizens of Crescent Cove, explore the city, valuable loot, weapons, and avoid getting captured by clowns and try to survive the alien invasion. It sounds like Evil Dead, but for Killer Clowns of...
I was just going to say the same thing. It sounds almost like the same kind of concept, which...
Survival teams, good guys versus bad guys. Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, at my age, I shy away from those games anymore.
Yeah. Toxic Avenger comic book is coming out soon. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Ahoy Comics is bringing Toxic Avenger character back to the world of comic books with a 5-issue miniseries. The first issue is expected to reach store shelves on October 9th.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited for that. I'll subscribe to it. I didn't see that it was available yet on my the order form for my comic book store, but I'm gonna order it. It's only 5 issues.
That's not bad.
Yeah, according to what was put here, is it's gonna be gory. It's gonna be filled with zany, crazy, horrific, human mutilations. So I'm excited for that. I like horror comic books. Screen Gems lands the rights to Joe Hill's short story Ushers. Joe Hill, according to Deadline, Joe Hill's writing a new short story. It's not even out yet, but Screen Gems has already licensed the rights to turn it into a film.
Wow.
That's kind of cool. That's exactly what happened with Stephen King. You know, a lot of his books, including Carrie, was you know, purchased for the rights to be a movie before the book was even published. And Joe Hill stuff, man. Dude, that Wolverton Station that they just published for Creepshow in the comics?
Uh-huh.
Fucking awesome. Loved it.
Is it really?
Loved it. What a great story. What a great story. And it's a nice short story and a nice one-shot issue for Creepshow comic books, and I loved it.
Just one issue.
Yep, just one issue. And I bought the regular cover, and I bought the special cover, the variant with the wolves on it.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, definitely something worth checking out. You know,
Creepshow was that when did that one come out? This month? Last month?
It was 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's you know, the thing about Creepshow comics is it's hit or miss. You know, sometimes there's a great story in there, and sometimes there's not.
I gotta go pick up the new Duke number 3 this weekend. So maybe I'll see if I can find that one while I'm there.
Yeah, it's definitely worth picking that one up. It's filled with gore. I fucking love the comic books when they're filled with gore, man.
Sweet.
And the art is pretty good, too. Let's see. Maxine has begun filming.
Nice.
There's a YouTube interview with the What's Under the Bed YouTube podcast. It looks like it's done by like a teenager, but he did an interview with Ty West, and Ty West said that we began filming the new film. It was a hard sell to try and get this to get all the films made, but when he had the idea for the first film, he told the movie company that, hey, I'd like to make this into a trilogy, and I'd like to do the next episode as a prequel before we do the sequel. And they kind of wanted Maxine, the sequel. They liked the idea that, you know, here's the 70s is the first film, the 80s is the second film. And he said, no, I got to do what the fuck?
Pearl first.
Pearl. Because I need to fill in the legacy, the legacy of what's happening before we can go to the present, you know, to the 80s to see what's going on.
Interesting.
So
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. They spent a lot of time writing it, and then there was all kinds of delays and stuff, but I'm very excited for it.
and the Did great we say thing Bradley it, Cooper's in it?
I don't recall. I think it might be, but I don't.
Yeah,
recall.
I think I remember. Like, there was a couple like bigger named actors in this one.
Yeah. So I'm excited for it. It's a
me too.
Those first two films are fucking great. So I'm game.
Indeed.
All right, the first look for The Crow with Bill Skarsgård came out 2 days ago, and I don't like it.
I mean, I guess it's a modernized version of what they think he would look like.
Covered in like fucking tattoos with a mullet. I don't know, man. I don't know. Vanity Fair basically published an article and an interview with Bill Skarsgård. Oddly enough, you know, the original movie caused the death of Brandon Lee. And my understanding is, I guess that's like about 30 years ago now, right?
Yeah, I would say.
I don't know how I feel about it, but it's coming out June 7th. I guess we'll see. You know, I don't think I'm going to go see it. I'm going to wait and see what people say, and then maybe rent it on digital or something.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am too. There's not a lot of I go to the theater to see anymore. I think that so far the only one I'm definitely going to see is Deadpool.
Definitely. The thing about it is, it's difficult for me to deal with these remakes all the time. I understand remakes happen. They happen when we were kids, right? I remember movies coming out and my dad going, that's a remake. That came out in 1953 when I was a kid or whatever. And
what are they doing? Why are they remaking that movie?
Yeah, first one was great as it was. Why would they do it again? And I feel the same way now. I'm like, there's this nostalgia that happens that you're like, it was good to begin with. Why would you do it again? You know, there are some movies that I know that I watched as a kid. And I'm like, you know what? That would be a good remake with all the technology we have now for special effects and
for sure
digital stuff. It could be great. Like, here's a great one. Everybody loves, and you're going to laugh when you hear this, but everybody loves The Changeling. Do you remember when we saw that in Bethlehem?
I fell asleep, I think.
Well, the funny thing is, it's still a very revered horror film. They're playing it here in Hollywood next week, and I was tempted to get a ticket, but I'm like, you know, it doesn't hold up for me. Like, it doesn't hold up.
I had a hard time. I mean, the story was good, but I don't know.
It just doesn't hold up. And it's so revered amongst the horror genre fans.
I know. I feel the same
whenever
way.
Whenever I say like something like that, like I watched it, you know, I just watched it a couple of years ago. What was it, 2016 or 17 that we went to see?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And I'm like, it just didn't hold up for me.
We were all excited to go see it. Like, I remember that. I was like, man, I was like, this really? Like,
and when we left, we were just like dumbfounded. We're like, oh man, I don't remember being that bad. Just didn't hold up. Yeah. So that's one I'd like to see remade. I think they can be better with that one, but then they go and do, you know, fucking Crow. We'll see.
I'll give it a shot. Like I said, I'll wait till it comes out on streaming too. I won't go to the theater to see it, but.
Okay. So that's it for the news with me. Do you got anything?
I saw I think they're dropping the trailer for Strangers Chapter 1 tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that should be pretty cool. I mean, the stills that they've shown from that looks like it's going to be decent. I mean, they upgraded the two minor killers' masks with the main guy. He looks pretty much the same.
That's awesome.
And I watched the trailer for, I saw the TV Glow, the A24's new one that's coming out.
I didn't see that one. I saw people talking about it on Twitter, but I didn't.
Yeah, I think it was a Sundance film, and it looks pretty cool. Like, it's got like a kind of a trippy, like almost like a Poltergeist kind of vibe to it, but with like a modern twist.
Interesting.
So check that trailer out. It looks pretty sweet. That's all I got.
All right. We are going to skip the five flicks to watch because that was Craig's, but he's not participating.
Yeah,
today.
He hasn't gotten back to me either.
Yeah, so I wonder, maybe something came up. Maybe he had a family emergency or something.
Perhaps.
Mayhaps.
I don't know.
All right. So what we'll do now is the top five. This month it is the top five Blumhouse horror films.
Yeah, I was surprised we hadn't done that yet.
And the list is Craig, Sal, Chris. Craig's not here, so I'll start.
There's a lot of them. I had a hard time.
Same thing here.
I got quite a few honorable mentions.
I tried to limit it down to just two, but we'll see. All right. My number five, and this was on my previous list, Totally Killer.
That was a good movie. Yeah, I liked it.
I enjoyed that one. It was entertaining. Yeah. My number four, Us.
Oh, yeah. I think we all went and saw that one, didn't we?
Yep, we did. And it was pretty good.
Yeah, that was, what's his name? Jordan Peele.
Yep, that's correct. Jordan Peele. Yeah. And the Hands Across America thing was fucking weird, and the fucking rabbits, and it was a weird movie, but I really liked it.
I think the only thing that bothered me was when the upside down lady would talk.
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird.
Yeah. I didn't care for that.
Yeah. My number three, The Black Phone. They're making a sequel. Woohoo!
Yeah, any news on that? Is it?
Haven't heard anything. Just know that they're
just
making
that they're remaking it.
Yep,
they're making a sequel.
Yep, that was a great one. I really enjoyed that one too. You know, the kid getting out of there and fighting back. I love that. Love when there's a hero moment in the horror film. My number two, and we talked about this one a little earlier today, The Invisible Man.
Yes.
What a fantastic take on that one. That was creepy as fuck.
For sure.
I loved it.
Yeah, it caught me by surprise. I wasn't expecting much. And that was one of the first ones that, like, right when the pandemic hit, they decided to release it streaming.
Yeah.
Instead of in the theater because nobody was going to the theater. So they dropped it for, like, I think $20. You could rent it. Yep. And we sat around the house and watched it. And I thought it was awesome. It was a great reimagination of the movie.
Thoroughly entertained by that film. And that made me excited for the fact that they were bringing back all the Universal monsters. They're going to try again after that hideous Wolfman film and that hideous Mummy film.
Yeah.
But starting with The Invisible Man, fantastic. They just got to keep up that momentum, bro. Keep it up.
Yeah.
And my number one, Get Out.
Man,
the twist ending on that one just blew my freaking mind. Like that.
I know, really... man. That was the thing I was thinking when I was going through my list was that there's a lot of movies, Blumhouse movies that like were like something different. Like you like all of a sudden you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know,
like this is not what I expected. This is something totally away from what you would expect or even the norm of what's considered in a horror film.
Yeah, and just, like when I first started telling people about Get Out, I'm like, well, it's not your traditional horror. I said, you know, it's gonna take a while for you to get it. I said, but once you know get it, like the end is just like blows your mind, and it's horror.
Yeah, you know? Because at first I was like, man, this movie is all right. You know, I'm not really understand what's going on, but once they revealed it, I'm like, what the fuck?
You're like, oh shit!
Yeah, it was one of those oh shit moments, you know, in film that. When you get that moment, it's just great. And then I got two.
Yeah, it had a good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Had a good cast too.
Yeah, definitely. And then I got two honorable mentions. The Visit,
That's another one where we're like at the end of it, you're like, oh shit, like,
what the shit? That's the thing.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen that one, and you guys kept telling me to watch it. I'm like, all right, I'll find it.
I think Blumhouse does those movies well, the ones that make you go, oh shit, at the end, like, what the hell?
I didn't realize that
was going on.
For sure.
Another honorable mention is Freaky. I don't know if you've watched that one, but that is great.
Yeah, with Vince Vaughn and I forget that. What's her name? Girl. She's been in quite a few.
Yeah, she was.
She's been in quite a few horror movies.
Wasp. She was in the.
The
Wasp too. I forget her name, but
that was good.
Yeah, there you go.
I liked it.
My top five and two honorable mentions.
Nice list.
Yeah.
All right, my list is similar. There's a couple different ones, and then like I said, I had a lot of movies that I really liked from Blumhouse. So I think I have like four honorable mentions. But anyway, so my number five is Black Phone, which you had just mentioned on your list.
Awesome.
My number four, and I don't know if you guys, I had mentioned this movie last year, Soft and Quiet. It's
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's an interesting film. It's also one of those ones where it's not your traditional horror, but it's horrific in its own way, and it's very the story is straight out of like what's going on, you know, with our society these days. It's one of those ones at the end you're like, oh shit. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, definitely add that to your list. My number three, another one that was something that like was different and I really enjoyed and spawned a bunch of other ones that weren't actually not all that bad either. The Purge. I thought The Purge was great. The first one, I like home invasion movies. So that one, like for me especially, was good. But the rest of them were actually pretty good too.
Yeah, they're okay.
Not a fan.
I'm not a super fan of those. They didn't qualify for my top 10 or top five.
Number two for me is Get Out. We just talked about that one, so I'll leave it at that. And my number one is The Invisible Man.
Nice.
We actually just watched that again like 2 weeks ago because Kim had mentioned. She's like, you know what? I really like The Invisible Man. Why don't we watch that tonight? I'm like, yeah, we ain't got nothing else to do. So
nice. We
watched The Invisible Man, and it was just the gaslighting that dude did to that chick.
Oh, man, dude, like, and the way they did the special effects in that film, I saw the behind-the-scene footage on the Blu-ray
I
have. Fantastic. Like, fantastic.
Awesome. So I'm just going to go through my honorable mentions here real quick. Totally Killer, The Visit, Happy Death Day, which was a fun movie, and Split, which was an M. Night Shyamalan movie, but also
it was good. I almost considered that one. Yeah, I tossed that one around.
I wasn't sure if it was really a horror, but I think, you know, it kind of is, you know, because he kills a bunch of people and turns into like a monster at the end.
I had it on my list here. I was like, because I jot down like all the ones that I like, and then I try to figure which ones go in the top five, and that was in the like list there.
Right. James McAvoy was great in that movie.
Fantastic. I loved it. He was basically the movie. Like,
yeah.
He's
like,
what,
I thought he should have
been decent. Yeah.
Made at least an Oscar nomination for that one, I thought. But, you know, what do I know? And so that's my top five plus several honorable mentions.
Well done. Awesome.
Hey, yeah, there's we had some similar ones. It's amazing how many movies they actually have out because, you know, I named like nine of them and there's still probably like another like 10 or 11 that, you know.
Well, and now that
keep pumping them out.
Now that they've merged their production with James Wan's production company,
Atomic Monster.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. They're gonna be unstoppable.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. All right, we're gonna go right to the movie of the month,
picked by me.
Yes. Damn you.
And I every once in a while I like to try to find like some kind of like B movie that I think is going to be fun. I didn't know if you guys had seen this one or not. I hadn't seen it. No. And from what I read about it, I was like, this sounds like it could be a fun, cheesy B movie from 1985.
Yeah.
So that's what I picked.
So the film is Hard Rock Zombies from 1985. It's a horror film. Yeah. Yeah.
Horror comedy.
Directed by Krishna Shahu. Shah. I don't know how to say that.
Shah.
Shah.
Yeah, and apparently he was they give him credit for bridging the Bollywood Hollywood divide. Like he was one of the first people to kind of try to. Yeah.
It is a rated R film and it's 1 hour and 34 minutes long. The short summary of the film on Rotten Tomatoes is Hitler cultists kill everyone in a heavy metal band, but their lead singer, EJ Curio, who brings them back as zombies. I didn't read that before the film. So when Hitler suddenly appeared, I was like, what the fuck? Like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. First of all, this movie is fucking bonkers off the wall, right?
It is. There's so much going on in this movie. Like, it's disjointed. Yeah. You know?
So you're going through, this fucking crazy town of crazy people at the beginning. They're killing people. There's a bunch of...
Werewolf lady in a wheelchair. Yeah,
there's a werewolf lady in a wheelchair. Two old people having sex while they're mutant dwarf children midget. Stand by and watch.
Let us watch, Papa.
Okay. And then I'm like, what the fuck? And then before you know it, he's like at dinner at the dinner table with the sheriff of town, and he rips off his shirt. He's Hitler. He takes off his mask and he's like Hitler. I'm like, what the fuck?
I saw so many things in this movie that either reminded me of movies that came later or movies that it may have taken like it reminded me of like the Monkees, kind of some of the scenes from it, you know, remember the TV show The Monkees? Yep.
Yeah.
But also, like I said, this guy is from India.
Yeah.
And it had like, if you've ever seen any Bollywood movies, this definitely had a Bollywood vibe to it. The musical that like really had nothing to do with the rest of the shit going on. Dude. That blonde chick that was just like dancing to her own shit.
Dude, all I know is like this movie was totally bizarre. Like I there were a couple times where I was laughing because it was funny, and then I was laughing because I was like, what the fuck is going on? It was almost, you know what it kind of reminded me of? Because you bring up what was it? To me it was like Benny Hill.
Yeah, because I said the Monkees.
Yeah, like the Monkees. But it was like Benny Hill, because it was like some of the scenes, all it is you hear the rock band playing. By the way, the music was really bad. And it was the thing that turned me off.
And it wasn't hard rock either. It was more like poppy synth rock. Yeah. Like I was like, you know, calling it hard rock or even like, I think they called it metal at one point. I'm like, this is like, no. You know, like Winger, maybe. Like, not even as heavy as Winger,
yeah. But the thing is, the music was bad, and they played so many songs, and then there was...
Like a lot of the song, too.
Right, and then the thing is, it's like, it was like a full-blown musical, because during the song, you got, like, the Benny Hill shit going on in the background.
Yeah, running back and forth and posing and shit, and like what the fuck? In and out of the closet doors like Scooby-Doo, and shit, and then that table scene where they were all sitting around the table reminded me of number one in House of a Thousand Corpses, where they're all sitting around the table for dinner, but also Nothing But Trouble, that Dan Aykroyd movie with like Chevy Chase in it and Demi Moore, where they're all sitting around the table with the weird ass people.
But it also, it also reminded me a little bit of Brain Dead,
Yes.
The dinner table scene with the mutants at the table, because they had those little midget mutant and that dude, that other,
those midgets were great.
Well, that other dwarf guy was the guy with the black curly hair. He was in Ghoulies 2. He was the dwarf in Ghoulies 2.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, he was the circus dwarf. Yeah.
So, but there really was, besides being like totally off the wall and goofy, there was some actually like really funny scenes in it too. Like the scene where the redneck town folk are voting to like outlaw rock and roll music, and they're just sitting there having that meeting. There was some funny like lines in that.
Yeah, there
you know?
Was,
like,
that was part
like,
of the scenes that I was cracking up at, because there was actually funny stuff going on in there.
Yeah, and I thought the practical effects were decent. Again, this is an 80s B movie, and it didn't try to be anything but an 80s B movie.
Right, but also I find it to be one of those films that is so bad, it's good. Like there were scenes in it that were just brilliant because they were so fucking bad, but it was so fucking funny.
Like the beginning where that like the sexy blonde girl lures those two like strangers into the lake. Yeah. She gets naked, jumps in the lake. she holds them underwater, and then all of a sudden, blood starts everywhere. Coming up from.
Like, where's the blood coming from?
I'm like, she's just holding them under the water. Where did the blood come from? Yeah. And while she's doing that, the midgets are over there, like, watching, and that guy's, like, taking pictures and shit. The movie just.
It starts you off just asking yourself, what the fuck is going on? What is happening here?
Yeah. Yeah. And then when Hitler unveiled himself, like, he had that old man mask on, and like there was a lot of like just weird ass crazy shit to it. But
it makes me wonder if that's where Rob Zombie got the idea for Nazi werewolf women of the SS, because there we are with Hitler and that werewolf woman in a wheelchair.
Yeah, well, supposedly that was supposed to be Eva Braun. Hitler's girlfriend, but I don't know why she was a werewolf, and she was just randomly a werewolf. It wasn't like at nighttime or, you know, yep. I couldn't figure that part out. The other thing that I really liked was the difference between the ghouls, which they went into detail to explain that they were ghouls, and the zombies that the metal band became.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure that out other than the fact that the metal band, they walk like robots when there are zombies.
Right. But the thing about it, too, is like, to me, in my mind, it's like because the band performed the song that resurrected.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That they performed.
They were like resurrected.
That resurrected. Because when the dude gave the tape to the girl and he said, hey, if something happens to me, you know, play this.
Yeah. And so there's also a lot of gratuitous boobs and butts in it, you know, like an 80s.
That's the best part of a B horror movie. Because the minute I said, because my daughter was like, what are you doing? I go, because it was last night. I'm like, it's 7:30. Why are you watching a movie? Don't you got to go to bed soon because you got work tomorrow? I go, yeah, but I got to watch this for the podcast. And then I turned it on. And as soon as that chick got naked in the water, I go, oh, yeah, now you know it's a good B film because there's going to be TNA in it. And she goes, oh, whatever. And she goes to her room. And I'm like, like, that's a good classic film. But the thing is, it is one of those films that just, like, I don't know. It was so bad, it was good. And when Hitler ripped off his mask, right, they didn't have any subtitles. But I understood.
No.
I understood three sentences that he said. He said,
yeah, they were talking in German, and I'm like, are they going to like give us subtitles or anything?
But
like,
he said, kill the Jews, kill the blacks, because he said Schwarze. So I'm like,
yeah,
right.
I heard you.
So kill the Jews, kill the blacks, and then he said, kill all the hippies. So I'm like, all right, that sounds like that's Hitler right there.
Yeah, and then he, like, that was the other weird thing. He went into like that long ass speech, like, for nobody. I'm like, who's he giving that speech to?
Yeah. And then the thing that really is the icing on the cake. How do all the zombies get killed in the end? Hitler's gas chamber.
Yeah, Hitler's gas chamber. That was because it was weird because he was explaining to their manager what he was doing in that room.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out like why he was like. Why he had the two different gases. Yeah, he goes,
here's the yellow gas. This will fill your lungs with piss and phlegm. Yes, piss and phlegm.
Piss and phlegm. Piss and phlegm. Piss and phlegm.
And then this is the blue gas. And this one will make your head split in half. I'm like, what the fuck?
The other scene that I love, too, is when they decided that the zombies hated heads. And I was like, at first I thought they said that the zombies hate head. Wait, the zombies hate head? Like, what, how do we know this? And then they had all those posters and they're walking around with all the famous like Hollywood types with the big head posters. And it's like you know, Walking Dead, where they rub themselves with like the ooze guts, from the other like zombies, so that the other zombies don't recognize them.
Yeah.
And then they're just walking around with those big heads on because the zombies hate heads.
Yeah. And then the manager, like, he was pretending to be a zombie at that one scene, and they were eating somebody in and trying to get him to eat too. And then he's like, and he runs away and he realizes he's not a zombie. It was just a crazy movie. Like it blew my mind the whole time. I was just like, what the fuck? But the only thing that was a turnoff for me, like, I love B movies. The thing that was a turnoff was the fucking music, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad. Like, especially since they said hard rock or like metal, it was not like it was synthy pop. Like, you know.
Well, even so, like, you look at some of those classic B movie horror films, like Black Roses, you know, all those ones that were like, you know, the Satanic Panic stuff. the bands never played full fucking songs over and over again in the film.
No, they play the, well, again, that's the Bollywood influence on this, because Bollywood is all about, there's a lot of musicals,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And they brought that to this because every time there was a song, they played the full song and there was either dance, not dancing, but like a montage of them walking or, you know, like,
or performing,
yeah, it was
performance on the stage with the band as zombies performing the song. And the worst part about it for me too was, okay, you got a fictional band. The fictional band is playing some fictional songs, but they played some of the songs more than once.
I know, the they played through, that once.
Like, all the way through. It's not like they played it once and then here's a reprisal of it later on. But no, yeah, it's like the whole fucking song. And then later on in the movie, the whole fucking song again. It was a little much when it came to that, but yeah.
I agree. Now, see, the only thing that I like, last time I tried to pick a B movie, we did Aquarium of the Dead last year.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be something like this, and it wasn't.
Right.
Like, it was a B movie that was just
total
meh.
Crap. It was total crap.
They didn't try to like be over the top. You know, we kept waiting for it to happen.
Right. You
embraced it, and
yeah, you wanted the camp. But you never
yeah,
got, you never
exactly.
got it. Yeah,
exactly. No, and I think the icing on the cake for me was when they started showing that one midget eating himself. And then the movie ended, he ate his own face and was just the skull sitting there. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's a great way to end that. Like, the midget just eating.
I like how every time they came back to that bizarre midget, like more and more of his body was missing. And he was just like feeding himself, feeding his own body
himself.
Yeah. And then at the end, they show him just chewing on his lip, and then he eats his whole face. That was perfect. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think for me, the only real turnoff in that entire film was
the music. Shitty. Yeah.
Like, it was, to me, it was a downright distraction. The music.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, besides that, for me, it was everything I looked for in a B movie. It was cheesy. It was definitely 80s. You know, like there was good practical effects. There was shitty practical effects. There was some shitty acting, but it was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, the music was not very good.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the only turnoff for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Hard Rock Zombies leads me to believe that it's going to be just a bit more hard.
They really should have called it Synth Pop Zombies.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
It would have been dead.
Synth Pop Zombies. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know.
I wonder if Craig liked it.
Yeah. I don't know. We may not know for a while, I guess. All right.
I hope everything's all right with him.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope it's not like a real emergency or something going on.
Yeah,
because he's not answering.
All right, so I picked it. I'm going to give it a 3. You know, it was a good. It's a lot better than some of the movies that we've watched. Again, like I said, Aquarium of the Dead was this scratched that itch for me for over the top weird ass B movie from the 80s.
Yeah,
the music kind of gave it a little.
The thing for me is that music really bummed me out because, like I said, I timed the song he wrote about the girl he met. It was over 3 minutes, that fucking song. So
it was basically like a full album cover, like a full album song.
Yeah. Yeah. And they played the fucking song twice. So that annoyed me enough that I'm going to give it a 2.5.
Okay.
I would have, if it wasn't for those songs, I very well may have given it a 3.5 because it's one of those films that's it's just fun to watch. Right.
It is. It's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie. But the thing that distracts me is, and I understand, I didn't know this like that. I didn't read up on it like you did. So for me, I didn't know it was like that transitional Bollywood thing. So that makes sense to me. And because I've watched plenty of Bollywood films.
Now that I said that, you're like, oh, yeah, I can see the influence now on that movie.
I can't, because back in the late 90s, I worked in 99 Park Avenue in New York City. And at lunchtime, there was a movie theater about a block or two away that played Bollywood films. And I worked with a lot of Indian dudes in technology.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go watch a Bollywood film during lunch. And I think I remember the very last film I watched there. In fact, it was called Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, which loosely translates to something happened. But it was a Bollywood film. It was a romantic one that was actually quite popular, but it was interesting. But now that you mention it, it's like, all right, yeah, I get the Bollywood influence. I didn't even think about that, but it annoyed me. It annoyed me because the music wasn't good. And then when they decided, I understand
to do it,
you know, play the song to the, what was the girl's name? I don't even remember the girl's name, but play the song to the girl.
Cassie?
Yeah.
Was it Cassie?
Right. Play the song to the girl that you wrote her, but then do it a 3-minute song. Do it again.
Yeah.
Like if you would have just played each of the songs one time and then did like a partial reprisal of the song later, mm-hmm. you probably could have cut 10 minutes out of the fucking movie. But anyway, 2.5 stars for me, 3 for you. We'll give it a American Nightmare podcast 3 stars. If you like cheesy 80s B movies with poor special effects and poor film quality, like that's the other thing I noticed is some of the scenes when the murder was happening, the video quality got really fucking grainy. Like they shot it from
I saw that too.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah, I thought that too.
It was kind of weird, but anyway, it was a fun film to watch. It was fun. It was one of those films that's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun. There's some funny parts to it, yeah, for sure.
All right, awesome. That is going to make a quick, almost a little less than an hour episode. We want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in, everyone for subscribing. Make sure to tell your friends, tell everyone about us. If you'd like to give us some ideas for a top 5 list or ideas for films to watch, please feel free to give us a voicemail call, 1-562-247-5855. Call us, leave us a voicemail. Tell us what we should review next. Tell us a top 5 list that we should have. Give us some ideas. Or you can send us an email, please. feedback@the-american-nightmare.com, or check us out, the American Nightmare podcast on Facebook. Also, if you go to YouTube podcasts, you can find our podcast now on YouTube because it will be discontinued this June from the Google PlayStation Google Play Store. You will no longer be able to get our podcast there. All right. Thanks again, everybody. And we'll talk to you next month.
So long.